그렇죠.
Okay, so yesterday, today's daf is daf Kuf Tesvav, and we're holding in the middle of the machlokus between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. So what happens in a case where somebody has only a vegetable that he would be yotzei maror with, so like he has chasa, he has a lettuce, and he doesn't have any alternative. So he goes ahead, and we just learned that he's supposed to nonetheless do the tibul rishon with that vegetable. And despite the fact that if you hold mitzvah Saint Tzvichas Kavanah, this could cause complications later on, because you already yotzei shaloi b'shas mitzvah. However, we came out yesterday that in order b'chdesh yishalu, that the tineker should have the two tibulim, we'll do that anyway. So now the shaila is, at what point do you make the mitzvah, the bracha? So Rav Huna is the bracha of the mora. So Rav Huna says you make the bracha of the mora. In other words, the vegetable that you're using that you be yotzei maror, the first one you only say bar pri adam, because now is not the time to be mekayim the mitzvah maror. Then later on, when it comes the time to be mekayim the mitzvah maror, then you should make the bracha on the maror itself. As Reb Chisda says, that doesn't make any sense. You can't. You've been eating this the whole time. All of a sudden, you're going to make a bracha on it, as if now it's something different. Therefore, you should make the bracha lechatchila, both brachas, Bari Pri Adama and the Alach Gilas Mar. Up front. Now, so Tosfos Tainis, it's obvious that if you're going to be yotzei and you hold mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana, so then of course you have to do that. It's because then it would be mamash a bracha levatala. If you're already yotzei the mitzvah, and you're not going to make a bracha on a mitzvah, so now you're going to come along, you're going to make a bracha when it isn't a mitzvah, you're already yotzei. So we can't say, Tainus Taisus, that that's the machlokes. In other words, there'd be nobody who would argue. If lemaisa you're going to be yotzei the mitzvah up front, so then obviously there's no choice. What Reb Chisda said, what's this lacha shimila kreiso emeno? I mean, that's not the point. Lacha shimila kreiso emeno. So you yotzei your mitzvah, you're bringing a bracha levatala. Therefore, Taisus learns that Reb Chisda is saying, even though you're not yotzei the mitzvah until later, and mitzvahs would be tzrichas kavanah, nonetheless, it's improper to be mamalek reisa mimenu. Because it doesn't make any sense. You're sitting here and you're eating the same chefetz of the mitzvah. It's a hefsek. That's not true, because we see that we oftentimes will make a bracha on something where the ikar mitzvah is later on. For instance, by tkiyah shofar. Where the ikar mitzvah is to do the tkiyah shofar together with the tefillah, not the way we do it before, in which we do all of the tkiyahs one after the other. But rather, as chazal or derish, to imu lefanayim the malchios, the zichranes, the malchios, and the shofaris, bima b'shofar. Supposed to use the shofar together with those tefillahs. Nonetheless, we make the bracha before, even though that's not the ikar mitzvah of the tkiyah. So, same thing over here. It's not considered to be a hefsek because you were still being Isaac in that hefsek, even though the ikar mitzvah is later on. So he understands, in other words, that you definitely this machlokas be where you're going to be yotzei the mitzvah later. And despite that, Reb Chisda is saying to make the bracha earlier. Says the Gemara today that Besuria Abdik Rav Huna. So in Surya, indeed, they did like Rav Huna, and they made the bracha separately. Whereas Rav Sheshes, brother of Yeshua, Avik Rav Chisda, they made both brachas on the original Achila, even though that was only Karpas. And Hilchas HaKavas Rav Chisda, indeed, that's how we paskin, if you only have one vegetable, to make both brachas up front. Rav Acha, brother Rava, Mahadar Ashar Yirakot, Lafukin Ashim Yiplukta. So Rav Acha Bereid Rava used to go out of his way, even though it took a great deal of trouble sometimes, he was mahadir, to get other kind of vegetables in order to avoid this problem. But it's interesting because, I mean, according to Rav Chisda, it would also be a problem. Because I'm doing it wrong. If I would hold it, I was yotzei the mitzvah now. So then it shall all be in the mitzvahs. In other words, if you hold according to the shita that we had before, Rish Lakish, so if you hold that what Rish Lakish was tining is, does it make sense to be mekayim mitzvah shalei bizman only in order to have kadesh shalavat dinakot and hear about the fact that they were trei tibulei? It It's outrageous. Okay, but the sugi came out anyway, we do that. So that itself could be enough of a reason to go be mahadir ashayirokas. Why would I want to compromise my position to go ahead and to eat? Even though I'm eating shalom bizmano, it's better that I should do my best to get hold of something else. So that's certainly true, but not mahadir. In other words, what he wanted to do, what we're adding now, is that whatever tircha was involved, I don't want to get involved in this machlokes, the question of the bracha. So there's three levels. There's a little chatchila. If you have both available, what to do? Obviously, you have both available, so you do the one that's the mitzvah. There's if you only have one, but you could easily get hold of another one, so then I would certainly want to avoid doing it shaloi kasidron. I want to make it separately. And then there's, in order to avoid the problem, should I make the bracha or not, that he went to a lot of tircha to go ahead and to make sure that he wouldn't get involved in the machlokas, which is a different issue.
You didn't have to have a device to think about, because I think you would have to have, you can't have like this.
Then for what? If you hold it, if you are using more?
Yeah. And he has a friend, he makes a bracha, plus more, you would have to make it.
Not necessarily, because I'm being Isaac in the mitzvah, even though I'm not being mekayim the mitzvah at that time.
I see, still mekayim the mitzvah later on.
Yeah. Sure. But since it's the same substance, so it's not so bad.
So it makes the bracha up front.
I'll make the bracha up front anyway. That's how Tos was learned. And everybody agrees with it. The older would be a hefsek if you held that.
Yeah. Well, why doesn't it bring this before the halacha? Isn't it? I mean, so Paskin's halacha then brings a story, someone might be not to get involved in this machlokes. I mean,
what's the question?
Well, the question, I'm saying we sort of decided which way we go, and then we bring.
Right, because that's why I was talking that up. And there's two different dargas. We decided which way we go in terms of if lamaisa you have only one. But Ravacha, and even though that took into consideration that if possible you should avoid this problem because of the other issues. So then we add, but Ravacha, despite the Yochasa, wanted to make sure that he never got involved in the machlokas in the first place. So I shouldn't have bichlal any kind of suffix in my mind. Omer Ravina, Omer Li Rav Misharshi, Bered Rav Nassim. This is a fascinating Gemara because it runs against like what you expect to hear. Hochi Omer Hillel Mishmei the Gemara. What Hillel said, quoting a Kabbalah that he had from his Rabbeim, is that Lo Nichro Chinish Matzumar Ba'adi Adari. Make sure that you don't make Korach.
Don't tell anybody this.
No, we'll see. First of all, this probably is not Hillel Hazaken. Mishmei the Gemara refers to an Amori. So it's just a coincidence. at least that's what the Ron says. It's a pretty big coincidence. So Hillel says that you have to be makbid bisman hazeh. And that's another reason why it would be an Amora, because I mean Hillel bisman the Bayit. Right, here he's talking about bizman hazeh. So make sure you don't take your matzah and moror and eat it at the same time. Why? Because look, if you hold like we do, that matzah bizman hazeh is diraisa, and this we're going to darish out later on in the parak, because it says an extra pasuk be'erev tochlu matzot besides the al matzot morim yochlu. So that means that even if you're not going to be b'kayim al matzot morim yochlu, you still have to go ahead and eat matzah bizman hazeh. So it's a mitzvah diraisa. There's no place where it says to eat more of bizman hazeh, which would mean that more of bizman hazeh is only derabbanan. So then what will happen is, ati more derabbanan, umavata leilamatzah diraisa. Since one of the things that you're doing is a mitzvah, it's a real mitzvah, mitzvah na Torah, and the other one, as far as the Torah is concerned, is you're eating something else entirely. So then it turns out it's going to be mavato the time of the mitzvah with something that's not a mitzvah. And even though there's the man, the Omar, who holds mitzvahs, a mevatleh, as long as what you're doing, both things are a mitzvah, you're not going to be mevatel one mitzvah by another mitzvah, because both of them are choshev on their own. But that's only if both mitzvahs are deoraisas. Anamila deoraisa, bidiraisa, derabbanan, bidirabbanan, that you can be mekayim two mitzvahs because they're both on the same darga. Abu Diorite of the Rabbonan, to have over here your matzah, which is a mitzvah midiraisa, and then the mora together with it, which is only Rabbonan. So then, as far as the Torah is concerned, the Rabbonan isn't a mitzvah. So, Ati Rabbonan, Mavatalay the Diorite. So now the moror, the rabbanon, is going to be mevatel the tam of the matzah. Therefore, you won't be yotzei the matzah either. Now, when you referred, Hillel was referring here, somebody, even according to the Mandi Amar who holds mitzvahs in the Vatli Zuhas. So who is that Mandi Amar? Who's that famous Mandi Amar? Mantana, the Sharmatling mitzvahs in the Vatli Zuhas. That's Hillel, our Hillel, the Hillel that we're used to in Nagoda. The Hillel that was there, Bisman Abayis, not referring to Matzahs Bisman Hazeh. So Zeh Hillel, the Tanya, Omru Alav Al Hillel, he used to take the Pesach, the Matzah, and the Mor, and eat them all together at the same time. So even if you hold of Hillel, that the Iker way to be Mekayim, the midst of the time of the Bayis, was to eat them Dafka together. So obviously there's no problem of Mitzvahs and Mevatlas, and Adarabba, we see from here that the Torah sees them all as it's even nicer to have them together.
But maybe he meant that we ate before already matzah, and now we...
No. He's still dashing it from the pasuk. This is the way to be mekayim the pasuk. Matzahs and marmi yochlu. We do that because of the machlokes, as we'll see. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, it's true that Hillel said that, but you should know, chulkin alav chaver aval Hillel. Hillel's friends didn't agree with him, and they held that matzahs and marim and Pesach, each one of them has to be separate. The Tan, because we see in the Brisa, Yochu Yehi Korchan Bevatachat Vochlan Gederach Shehillel Ochlan. You might think that you should eat the same way that Hillel ate. Talmud Lomar Al Matzot Umrorim Yochlu. Afilu Zeb Ifnei Atzma Vezeb Ifnei Atzma. Therefore, the Torah stresses Yochluhu. What's the Hu Yochluhu? You could have said Stam Yochal, because it said before Vachlu et Abasar. So why does it repeat Yochluhu? So it must mean to tell me each one individually Yochluhu, this thing alone. Afil zebifnei atzmo vezebifnei atzmo, even if each one of them is separate. Obviously, at this point, we're understanding the word "even" to mean that the Torah is saying, "Look at this." They don't need to be together. Once they don't need to be together, so then there's no, you can't understand the meaning of the pasuk the way Hillel did. Because Hillel was darshaning that it should be al matzei sumerim. So we're saying, no, that's clearly not the case, because then why does it use a lashon yochid in the object of the verb to eat it? Must be that that's not the way to understand the pasuk. Once that's not the way to understand the pasuk, so then it means that we have no basis to say that the mitzvahs wouldn't be mevatle suasu. Taina's Ravashi. That's how you understand the meaning of the Braita, that this Braita is the Chaverim that are Chalukin al Hillel. If they were coming to be Chalik al Hillel, why'd they use the word Afilu? It's a very misleading word. I mean, you can fit it into the Braita in terms of saying, look, the Torah is clearly saying that they can be separate. So if they can be separate, so where do you come to say that Al-Matzah Ron Yochlu means together? But if you're coming to say B'dachit can't be together, I mean, you certainly don't want to say the word even, because then the way that the casual reader understands it is that, not necessarily, you don't have to do it the way Hillel does it, right? So, therefore, I'm not disagreeing, says Rav Ashi, I'm not disagreeing that what Rav Yochanan said, Chalukin alav Chaveirav. I'm certainly disagreeing that this is the mocker of the Chaveirav that are Chalukin. I mean, Rav Yochanan has a Kabbalah that Chalukin alav Chaveirav, very nice, but don't tell me that this Braisa is written by those Chaveirav that are Chalukin alav. This represents a shita that says that you're yaitzen, that there's no need to put it together like Hillel. There's another shita, apparently, that Rabbi Yochanan was mekabel, that you're not even yaitzen if you put them together. Why? Because mitzvahs are mevat le'zuzah. El amar Rav Ashi, hai tana hachi ketani. All that this braisa was saying was this. Yochol lo yatzabu yidecha vazo elim ken korchan bevat achat vochlan kiterach she'ilal achlan. You might think that you wouldn't be Yotze unless you put them together the way Hillel was putting them together. And that the issue over there would be to understand that the Chiev and the Torah was not really three separate Achilas, but Dafka, the Torah wants you to have a Pesach with Matzah and Mor. In which case, how can you be Yotze Pesach with Matzah and Mor if you eat them separately? That's a joke. So where's your Pesach on Matzah and Mor? Kamash Malan Talmud Lomar Al Matzot Umarim Yochluhu. In order to avoid that misunderstanding of the pasuk, it says eat it. Hafilo ze bifnei atzmo, v'ze bifnei atzmo. Who those chaverim are, I don't know. But Rabbi Yochanan has such a kabbal. Now, lemaisa, we don't have here a psak. Ashtad lo itmar hilchasa. Lo ki alel v'lo ki rabbanan. So what should we do? Mevorech al achilat matzah v'orcha, we eat the matzah now separately. And then we're mevorech al achilas morah, and we eat the morah separately. And then, ay, boy, would you have been useful to us a little while ago? We were missing one person for the minyan.
My father is sick.
You didn't tell him, physician, heal thyself? Hey, hey. I'm sorry to hear. Okay. And then you eat the morar, and then you go back and do what we do. You put the matzah and the chas abadi adadi below bracha, because you already yaitse. Zeichel amigdash kelo. Now listen, we have to understand this very clearly, what's going on over here. Because we're translating what Hillel said into Bizman Hazeh, right? So the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Because we started off the sugya by saying, even according to Hillel HaZaken, who held that you Bizman Habayis, you would be, I'd say, putting them all together, but Bizman Hazeh, certainly you couldn't put them together. Because the taste of the Mor D'Rabbanan would be Mevatel, the taste of the Matzah, which is the Araisa. So what are you saying? Hashtad lo yitmar hilchasa. Okay. It has nothing to do with the hilchasa. Because Hillel also agrees that you can't possibly eat them together. So that doesn't make any sense what we're saying. Well, you're telling me that Aliba de Hillel, we would actually have preferred to eat the matzah together with the morah? Well, you wouldn't be yitzing. How could you eat the matzah with the morah? So why are we doing Zechel and Mikdash ke Hillel when we're ruining now the mitzvah of the morah together by eating it together with the matzah anyway? Because by the time we eat the kairach, the matzah is not a mitzvah at all, because we're already yotze, and the morah is the mitzvah. So now the time of the matzah is going to be about the time of the morah. So I think it seems crazy. In both directions, it's crazy. We can't possibly eat morah with the matzah, because even Hillel would be made, it will be about the time of the matzah. Once we did it the wrong way, and we ate the matzah, so then Hillel himself should be made that if the matzah is no longer a mitzvah, that I can only be yotze the morah separately. So what's the point of going back now and doing Zechel HaMikdash Kehillel or Koyt Kehillel? You want to tell me you want to do Zechel HaMikdash Kehillel, it's very sweet. But it has nothing to do with the fact that Hashtad lo yitmar hilchasa lo kamar lo kamar, because Hillel himself is made that it's no longer an issue. You see how strange the sugya is? I mean, it seems to be totally crazy. Unless you learn the pshat like this, although there are other approaches, Rosh Brahm's approach. Of course, according to Hillel Bizman Hazeh, Avada, you have to go ahead and eat the matzah first separately, because the morah is only the rabbanon. The question is, Aliba de Hillel, how would I have eaten the morah l'chatchila? Since Hillel holds that the ikar mitzvah v'achilas morah at the time of the Beis HaMikdash was together with matzah and pesach, so when the rabbanon said there should be a chiyav of achilas morah Bizman Hazeh, it would make sense that they would say, how should you be Mekayim, the Achilas Morah Bizman Hazeh, the way you would have been Mekayim at the time of the Beis HaMikdash together with Matzah? That would be the Ikar Takana. So at that point, we wouldn't say, oh, but the Matzah is no longer a mitzvah. You're right, the Matzah is not a mitzvah. But the Morah's mitzvah is to be eaten together with Matzah. So that's the way that I have to eat the Morah. Forget about the question of there being two separate mitzvahs. There are no two separate mitzvahs. The takana would be to eat more as it's eaten in the Beis HaMikdash. But since we haven't paskened like Hillel, that was the way that you have to eat in the Beis HaMikdash, so then now, if we would do it that way, we would ruin the morah, because the matzah isn't a mitzvah. Therefore, eat the morah separately. And now that you've eaten the morah separately, so now you have two things that can be eaten together as a zecher, so now the zecher l'mikdash kilo. It's not so much on the surface. It was saying something that it didn't mean. That makes sense at all. Okay, so we have a lot of different svaras over here that are competing with each other till we get to our pshat. So again, in which case we can't say that the ikar takana of the moror is to be eaten after with the matzah. Vivarak alakilas matzah va'ochel. So we make our bracha first on the matzah, we eat it, then we make a bracha on the mor, and we eat it, and then we eat the matzah and the lechasa, v'hari hadadi, below bracha, zeichel ha-mikdash kehilel. And notice that doesn't even say to eat matzah umor, just eat the matzah lechasa, v'hari hadadi. Because the point is already, we're not eating this in order to be yotzei mor. What we're doing is we're having the type of food that we had in the base of mikdash, the way that Hillel would have done it.
So you're not trying to be yotzei according to Hillel, right, the second way.
No. Right, because even Hillel now would be right. Now it's too late. So now how can you? What are you doing? Because it wouldn't hold it that it's the only way to be Makai anymore. Okay, there's many other approaches to learn the sugya, but this is reasonably straightforward. Yeah?
Well, would that mean that if somebody can't eat that much matzah, they could not have the korech?
Yeah, this is all we're doing now. Basically, is a zecher. We're not doing it, which is why we're very makel in the korach. Right. Right? It's the shear of the korach. We'll take the lowest shear, whatever the smallest shear of matzah would be. Omer Belozer, Omer Boshaya, kol shetibulo b'mashke, tzarech tefilat yadayim. Anything which is dipped into some type of liquid requires a netilas yadayim. He was referring to our Mishnah, because otherwise the rest of the sugya must be shown in one. Otherwise, the rest of the sugya doesn't make sense. So, in other words, you're going to have to make a netila, do a netila for eating your mor, for your eating your karpas, whether it's mor or whether it's whatever other vegetable, whatever your tevel is. Now, here, of course, we run into a big question, because there's a general rule in the Gemara that anybody who's neitel yadav l'peres is considered to be migasei haruach. Well, you're so fancy guy, you already have a churma that you have to be tovel yadayim for peres. Why tovel yadayim for peres? Okay, so Rashi explains that's because you don't have any mashke on the peres. What's the difference? You have a mashke on the peres or not? The difference is simply this. Remember that the Rabbana made a takona that yadayim are called shniyos l'tumah. So there's second level, there's that. I mean, actually, if you start from the top, you have a via vaisatuma, which is a mace. Then you have an avatuma, someone who's megayan a mace, or all the other avaisatuma. Then you have a rishain latuma, which is someone who was megayan an avatuma. Then you have a sheni, which is, I would say, urchlin, that contract. A person can't become a sheni normally, except in a rabbona. But you have something, let's say, urchlin, a mashkin, that touched a rishay, and it stops at that point for chulin. Chulin can't go lower. There's nothing that can be makabel tuba for mesheni. By truma, however, truma can be makabel tuba for mesheni and become a shlishi. Kadesh can even become a revi. Fine. So now the shaila is like this: the rabbonim were metakein always only sheni, except in one case. Because since truma can contract tuma from a sheni, so where they wanted to be machmir for truma, they said, let's say if you're not neitel yadayim, those yadayim are defined as being sheni l'tuma. So if they'll touch now truma, truma will be makabel tuma. Since lemaisa, rov of the achil of truma, the chashivas of truma, was in terms of lechem, so we made a takana that even though we're only eating chulin, but in order that people should get used to the idea of the removal of sheni from their yadayim, so we made a takana for all bread. Okay, peres already, we never made such a takana. So the question is this. There's a unique case in which not only were the Rabbanan Geyser that it's possible to make something a reshine, but they even said that something that contracts from a sheni becomes a rishon, which is really wild. What's that case? Liquid. Because liquid is a unique situation for several reasons. First of all, liquid is a unique situation in that, by definition, it doesn't require hechsher l'tumah. No food will be makabel tumah unless some liquid has touched it with your desire that it be wetted by that liquid. At some point or another, in the line of its manufacture, or after it was no longer mechubar lekarka. Liquid, of course, since it is liquid, doesn't require any other hechsher. So liquid, as Chazal put it, alulim lekabel tumah. since they're alul in the kabel tuma, we're concerned, and the mele we're goyzer on it. But the additional problem is that people will often drink at the same time that they're eating. In which case, let's say somebody indeed, he's a kohen, so he's eating chulin. He's eating chulin, and the chulin could be whatever. There could be tamim, so the sheni. But now, suppose he takes a drink of wine. The wine being liquid is going to be makabot, and his drink of wine could be truma. And without realizing that he still has truma in his mouth, he'll be batami the yayin. He'll be eating truma, drinking truma to me, which is an isidir raisa. So the mamela, we were geyser on liquids that they're very olo lekabel tuma, and we treat them as if they are a rishon. In which case, if your hands would touch liquids, and that liquid was on a fruit, then the liquid would have become a rishon, and even if the fruit were chulin, the chulin would become a sheni. Because chulin can become a sheni. Therefore, we have a unique situation while something is wet, only while it's wet. Don't confuse this with Heksher, where something was once wet. That's irrelevant. Because now it's not going to be makabel tuma if it's chulin. But if there's liquids in between, the liquids become a rishon, no matter what your yadayim are, even though your yadayim are only a sheni, and will now be betame, the fruit. If the fruit is chulin, and here we run into a big machlokes. Rashi's understanding, and many others as well, is that therefore, since you're dealing with an actual chefza of peiros tameim, therefore the rabbanon were geyser both on lechem to do netilas yadayim, even though it isn't wet, because that's the main achila truma, and on cases where you're actually going to be batami, what you're eating. Exactly the same way they were geyser on the lechem, according to which you have to make a bracha on netilas yadayim if you're going to be eating wet peiros, right? If you're eating something wet, so then you must make a bracha, because that's the ikar takana. Taisa says, there's no such thing. The takana was on bread. Where do you get the idea that just because you're going to be matami peres of chulin, so therefore it's the same takana that we made for the inyan of nekias and tirat for legabe truma? What does one have to do with the other? The only reason that you would have to wash your hands is because at times when it was possible to be makbid on Tumah V'Tayra, where they still had the Paraduma and so on. So in those times, they were geyser, that there should always be an attempt to eat even chulin V'Tayra. Bizman HaZeh, that's impossible. So since it's impossible, we're not zayir on it, because this is not a takana, that is a practical thing. Okay, so what's left is to do your best. Okay, we'll do it, but certainly you're not going to make a bracha on it. So according to Taisa speaks out, so Yivada, he won't make a bracha. Which is the way, and it's very interesting that Taisa says, even though it says in all of the Sidurim that you should make a bracha on the first rachza, that's wrong. Of course, by us, every child is taught in kindergarten, wash your hands, but don't make a bracha. But that's only true according to Taisa. But since it's a machlokes, according to Taisa, there's no need to do a bichla. So since it's a machlokes, okay, so what we do is we do the act of the netilah, but since it's a suffix bracha, so we don't make the bracha. But many don't paskin like this. Many paskin like Rashi, and the Gra makes a bracha. If the thing that you're eating is wet, so it's exactly the same thing as washing, eating for bread. Doesn't make sense, he says. If you don't hold the takana, why are you doing it all? If you're doing it, then you have to make a bracha. Because there isn't a middle way of it being stam a suffix bracha. Fine. So the Enoch and Ami, those who are knowing, like the Gla, make a bracha for the rachza. They don't wait for the second Natila. In any event, comes along now Rav Papa and says, look, if Rabbi Oshaya says that you're mechuyev to do Natilas Yadayim at the Karpas, so that means, and he's referring now to our Mishnah, where you used your lettuce. Now, lettuce, you just put into the charoses, right? No? So, do you have to put the whole lettuce into the charoses? You dip maybe a piece of lettuce into the charoses. So suppose you would be eating wet apples, slices of apples, with a fork. Would you need to do netilah since your yadayim are not coming into contact with the mashkin? No. Unless, of course, it's exactly the same as for lecha, which is exactly what Tosfos Tanya is against Rashi. As we'll see in a moment. If you need, says Rav Popa, to do netilas yadayim, it must be that you have to put the entire mor into the charoset. Because otherwise, what's the problem? Hold the mor in one place and dip the other end of the mor and eat it. That's his diyuk. So Tosfos Tanya is on Rashi. It's absurd. If Rashi holds this is the same takana as bread, so you're telling me if I take a piece of bread with a fork, so I don't need netilas yadayim. Therefore, we could be madaiac over here. It must be that all. It's not true. It's a completely different issue, Tainus Tosfos. It's not it's because you don't want to be matami the chulin. It's not a takona that was made, but it's a very good diyak. Okay? So, therefore, Tainus Rav Papa. Since Rav Ashaya is saying that the issue over here is that you're going to be matami the chulin, and there's absolutely no need to be matami the chulin with my adayim, because why should I get my fingers wet at all? Why do I have to go near the place where it's wet? It must be Shema Amino. The only explanation is to tell me that the chasa tzarech l'shkuye b'charoses must be that you have to actually submerge it into the charoses mishum kapa, because charoses contains in it, because the lettuce contains in it kapa. And the only way to get away from the kapa, which is dangerous, is to have it completely surrounded by charoset. We'll talk about what this kappa is in a minute. The isak that I think lo tzarech l'shku, yay. If you're going to tell me that I do not have to dip into the charoset completely, so the tilas yadayim lamali, why would I need a tilas yadayim? Why do I have to get my fingers wet? I'll hold the lettuce on top, dip the bottom into the charoset, and I'll eat. Now, what exactly is this kappa? So here is a big machlokas. Rashi, the Rashbam, they learn that kappa is an ingredient that will sometimes show up in lettuce, and it's dangerous. And memela, you have to take something that takes away the strength of that kappa. Otherwise, it's like a poison. We normally will eat lettuce and we won't be makpid on charoses, according to this, is now here in order to avoid the kappa. Okay, but we're not going to be mitaken a mitzvah that has inyonim in it that could possibly be misukah. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chananu that the kappa is an actual worm. It's an organism. In which case you'll say, so what good is it to kill it? I mean, so if I kill it, but I'm still eating worms, I thought I'm not supposed to. Oh, that is already not a problem if you hold, like the Mandi Omar, who says that a worm that is growing inside of a fruit and never crawled out of the fruit is not considered to be Sheretz HaShoretz Ala Oretz, because it never came out Ala Oretz. But according to Shmuel, who says that's only true, everybody's voted that that's the case. Now, let's say you have a fruit in which a worm grows after it's been picked. So then it's not a sheretz, a sheretz aloretz. But Shmuel Tainas, if the worm grows while it's connected to the ground, then it is aloretz, because that is the aretz. In which case, how could you eat it alibi de Shmuel? Tainas Tosfos, a beautiful answer. Tosfos says, as far as the isser of eating the worms are concerned, Shmuel relied on the rov. How often do you find a kappa? You don't have to worry about a kappa. But for sakana, you're not allowed to rely on a rov. So Mamela, you want to make sure if there is a kappa there somewhere, that he doesn't get a chance to put his little parasitic fangs into your tummy. So you kill him with the charoses. Two very different approaches. In any event, it must be that in order to do that, you'd have to sink it under the surface of the charoses. Says the Gemara. I understand. What's the proof? The dilma liyolamei malacha lo tzarech l'shkuye. The kappa mirecha mait. Maybe you don't have to. Maybe that kappa is so sensitive works out better if mayis, because as it dies, it's mash, but it's a living thing. But, I mean, we use the word dying for things that are just being ruined, you know, like we talked about a palm tree that was murdered earlier, this of the shaded. So it could be that actually the kapha is sensitive just to the odor of the charoset. So it's the chemicals that are rising from the charoset is enough to counteract the impact of the kapha, or to kill the kapha, according to Rabbeinu Hananel. So then you'll ask me, what do you mean? Because Dilma Meshach, do I know how much you're going to put of the charoset under the, I mean, and if Lamais you put a lot on, so if you're going to make a takana, dip into the charoset, but make sure that your fingers don't touch the charoset. So that's all the Rabbi Shaya was saying was that since you're eating something that was tibula b'mashka, there's a good chance that you could end up touching it. So mamela, you should be noito yadayim. So therefore, that doesn't prove anything. All right, so Rav Pope said, okay, you don't like my first relationship of the lettuce to the charoset. I'll give you the second thing that I hold is very important. And that is, lo nishe inish mora b'charoset. Don't let your mora sit there in the charoset too long. Because if you do, dilma agav chalye de tavlin, you've got a lot of flavoring together with like wine, vinegar, whatever. So it's going to affect now the time of the mora. But now it'll be mavatale lemurure. It's going to make it now tasty. You won't even taste the aftertaste of bitterness in the mora. And therefore, you won't be yotze, because we need for mora to taste like mora. Because the whole point of mora is vayamaru et chayehem. So if this tastes like a nice sweet dish, what does that have to do with vayamaru et chayehem? So then you won't be yotze the mora. So b'inan tam mora v'leka. Now, adabi Reb Chista Rabbanu Ukva. Reb Chista was pushing Rabbanu Ukva, even though it was Reb Chista's yeshiva, he pushed Rabbanu Ukva to give the drosh. So, v'dorash, what he said was, nata yadav b'tivu rishayin, notel yadav b'tivu sheni. Even though you already did the rochza for your karpas, you have to have washed your hands again for the second tibul for the mora. Now, obviously it doesn't literally mean for the second tibul for the mora, because you had to eat the matzah first anyway, and if you need netilas yadayim, you're going to certainly need netilas yadayim for the matzah. Because if we showed him Ramazber, he's just using the Lashon Tibul Sheni, because we were talking about a Tibul Rishon a moment ago. So even though I did it, but we'll see that the use of the word Tibul Sheni actually changes the way we understand the application of what he was saying in a moment. He did it on purpose that we should recognize that we were talking about Pesach. That's the point, not in a normal Suda. So the Rabbanan that were in the yeshiva, and they heard the guest's drasha, so they came to Rav Pop and they said, gee, I assume that what he was talking about was not on Pesach. I mean, he was talking about stam, a regular night. He'll be Alma Itma. He must have been talking about when a regular case where somebody was Tevel. So he didn't have in Das at the time that he was Tevel that he was going to continue to eat, because normally you have dips. You finish the dips and you don't think that you're going to be dipping again in the middle of the meal. That's one of the issues that's strange about Pesach. That's what the child is asking. What do you mean we're going to have more dips later? Why would we do that? So why Shnei Palmim? Okay, so if that's the case, just like in any other case, the moment that a person is Mesalek his Das from eating with his Netilas Yadayim, his Yadayim now becomes Stam Yadayim again, because it's only as long as you're in the middle and intend to eat that your yadayim are considered to be shmurot from becoming now again tameot. But over here, so since I didn't think I was going to eat, so if you change your mind, you have to go and wash your hands again. That must be what he meant. I certainly can't be referring to Pesach. That's crazy. Because at the time that he did his original netilah, he intended to continue to eat. He knew he had to eat the matzah. He knew he had to eat tomorrow. So why would he need a second netilah? It doesn't make any sense. If he was talking about Pesach, what's the point of having two different Netilas Yadayim? You're already at the beginning of the process of the Seder Alayla, and he knew what the Mitzvahs Alayla were. He already did the Netilas Yadayim. So Rav Papa told him, on the contrary, what's the matter with you guys? Adarabha. He's only talking about Pesach. The Yisak Daivu Bi Alma Yitmar. Lomali treti bule. Let's say if he was talking about over here a regular night, what is he saying? Tibul sheni, tibul rishon. In other words, the point is that there's an order of events over here. There's a tibul rishon, a tibul sheni. Tell me where in a normal night is there a tibul rishon, tibul sheni? You want to say again? Say again. But I mean, it has nothing to do with a rishon and sheni. He's got to be referring to the Seder. So I understand. So then, why is he doing it? So my hachitmar netilat yadayim treti neilomali. But you're not explaining to me why he would require a second netila. Hamashla yadachad azimne amri. Then I'll explain to you. Kimen deboyla meimra agadata vehilila. Look, it takes an awfully long time to get through the Haggadah. Takes, and then you got Hallel. And I mean, so you're telling me 2 hours ago he washed his hands for the karpas. I mean, like, you know, meanwhile he's picking up the kids who are screaming and doing whatever else he has to do in the middle of the Seder, but he's going to be careful the whole time in his yadayim because he knows that he's coming to eat matzah and mora. Unlikely. So, what we have to assume is that Lamaisa, he was probably mitami as yadayim, in which case we weren't mitakin that the first atila should be for the second atila. Right? Omar Rav, bala matzah yatsa, bala maror lo yatsa. If you swallowed matzah, so it's considered to be yotzi your mitzvah, because the taste of the matzah is not important. What's important is the eating of the matzah. But if you swallow maror, you're not yotzi. Because as we just explained, the inyan of the maror is the fact that it leaves a bitter taste. But if you don't chew it, it doesn't. And therefore there's no time of maror. So you wouldn't be yotze there at all. Now lemaisa, this is a little bit strange, because we said before, Amud Aleph, that if you eat matzah and maror together, you're not yotze the matzah, because the maror, the taste of the maror is mevato the matzah. Actually, you don't need to have a taste of the matzah, so who cares? So clearly, there's an afkavina between your actual tasting or the question of whether the taste exists. In other words, I don't need to have the actual tasting, because I can swallow it. But when it comes to the kiyum of the mitzvah, the matzah has to be something which, if I would be tasting, would taste like matzah, not something else. Because if the inyan of mitzvahs mevatlis is dependent on taste, that's the only way to understand it. It's not dependent on your taste. But it's dependent on whether this mixture is the chefs of the thing that you're supposed to be mekayim the mitzvah with. So even though it's not ma'akim, you don't taste the matzah. But if there's no matzah here to taste, so then you wouldn't be yotzei even by swallowing it.
How do we know that we're actually talking about taste before? Well, we might be just talking about putting two mitzvahs together and they destroy each other.
It could be. It's a question of how to understand this. This is how the Mishnah Berurah explains the Halakha Lamaisa, the difference of the two sukkahs. The question of mitzvahs mevatla zo is a very good point that you're making. The problem is that so many of the Rishonim talk about the osi, the tam of the this, and it's mevatla the tam of the that, and therefore would be mevatla. So you take a look at the way the way that it says it over here, it simply says that it's the fact that you're doing something else is mevatel. Because it doesn't, right?
Yeah.
But if you take a look in the Rashbam, umevatela, the word that he says is mevatela latam amatza diraisa. He's clearly making a dependence in taste. So according to those Rishonim, so how do we understand the difference between the two sukkahs? So it must be that there's two different issues. Right? Okay, now this is again the next piece as well. So if you're bolea the matzah, you're yotze. If you're bolea the morer, you're not yotze. If you're bolea matzah and morer together, yidei matzah yatza, yidei morer lo yatza. Now this is interesting, you see. Because if we paskind that mitzvahs are mevatleh, where one is deraisa, one is derabbanan, then vaday, everybody would agree that mitzvahs are mevatleh, zuhazu. So then what Rav is saying now is a tremendous chiddush. Like this, if you don't take that into consideration, you don't take into consideration what Naftali just said, right? So then what, you just told me if you swallow matzah, you're yotzei. if you swallow more, you're not yotze. So what do you have to tell me? And if you swallow matzah and more at the same time, you're yotze on the matzah, but you're not yotze on the more. Doesn't that follow logically? No, it doesn't follow logically. Because when you eat them together, you're running into the question of mitzvahs mevatlei zuzu. So now it's totally crazy. A moment ago we said you can't eat matzah and mora together and because the mora is mevatlei the matzah. So I understand. So how over a year, a minute later do we say, no, but it's okay as far as the matzah is concerned. There's only another issue, which is you need to have the actual taste of the bitterness in your mouth. You don't have the taste of the bitterness in your mouth. Isn't it now a contradiction to the previous sugya? So what you'll have to say is that you were yotze the matzah, because you shouldn't say that you're also going to have the problem of the mitzvahs mevatlei zuzu, because you never had a mixture. Since you didn't chew it, you're in a better position. Right? Because if you chewed it, so then already you could be mevatel the tam of the matzah. So then you have the problem that the tam of the matzah doesn't exist. But if you're just swallowing it, then you weren't mevatel the tam of the matzah. You just didn't have the tam of the matzah because you swallowed it, but you don't need to have the tam of the matzah. It's very strange. So it turns out to be better that you didn't have the tam, at least for the matzah sake. And yeah. Right. Okay. All right. I mean, Lemaisa, you would think that's the main point over here. The Rashbam brings that the Kiddush is that bola matzah umor, your yotze, the tam matzah, even though Lemaisa, you might think that, I mean, at least you need to have the matzah directly in touch with your throat as you're swallowing it over here. I mean, it has more in the way, so maybe like it's even worse than stama bola matzah. There's another issue that we need to take into consideration.
I have a say the Torah said the Kirush, Ba'erem Tochlu Matzah. Tochlu, they have to eat, not to swallow.
Yeah, but swallowing is your Yotze Achila. Achila doesn't mean necessarily chewing. Achila means that your stomach has to have had the Hanoh of the Eichelin that go down your throat, that go down the base of Bliya.
So therefore, it wouldn't be allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, to swallow on Yom Kippur.
Right. But the next case, which is that suppose you took korchon besivu bolan, let's say you put it in a plastic bag, you swallow now the whole thing. So you're going to say, okay, so I ate the matzah, I understand the mora, I didn't taste. But the matzah I don't need to taste. So I ate the matzah. Or in those days, they didn't have plastic bags, but they had the closest equivalent was cellophane, which is sieve. Sieve is, if you take a look at the bottom of the palm, so you have this material-like thing that grows around the bottom, right? So that's basically just cellophane. So if you wrap it in cellophane and you swallow it, so then you wouldn't be yotze. So over there, af yidei matzah nami lo yotze. In that case, you're not yotze at all, because that's not considered to be the derech of achila. It was never in your mouth. It was never in the base of liya. So Mamewa, that's like having somebody take his hand and put it down your throat and drop something in your stomach. That's not called derech achila at all. So then you wouldn't be yotze, as Rabbi Yisrael pointed out. That's not considered derech tochlu matzos. So there you'd be yotze neither. Omer Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, if you're setting up your table for the Seder, then what you need to do is you have to put matzah lifnei kol achad v'achad, moror lifnei kol achad v'achad, v'charoset lifnei kol achad v'achad. Now in those days, remember, everyone had a separate table. So basically what you need, because you had a little couch, you had a table next to the couch, that was the asav, the serving table. So everybody, therefore, has their own serving table, and you have to have all of the things ready there on the table. So, but when it comes, however, now the Rashbam Tainas, for us, this is no longer true. Because since we're all on the same table, the Seder plate on the table, even though it's only in front of that one person, is basically on my table. So I can view it as having my Seder Lefanai. But to be Eiker the Shulchan, And we'll see later on that they used to remove the entire table because the table then was just a small thing that you walked off with. Then that made a tremendous impact on the kids, who started to think that maybe they were in a New York wedding or something, but the waiters grabbed the food the minute you turned aside, you'd come back to your plate, there's nothing there, you know. Or you sometimes catch some fingers, what, ah! I said, Mom, she just had it. I grabbed the guy's hand, no! You're not getting away with it. Well, it was just a month ago. So the kid feels, what are you guys doing? I didn't eat. Waiting all day, you're already taking away. So it's another thing that we do to stimulate questioning, right? So that's only done lifnei misha omer haggadah. That I only do. I have to take away the table before the one who's saying the haggadah. Ravuna omer, I don't need to have a whole seder in front of everybody. Kulu nami lifnei misha omer haggadah. The whole thing, also all of the other things, also don't have to be in front of everybody, because Lamaisa, he's saying, he's going to hand out the matzah, he'll do whatever needs to be done, and why should everybody have to have everything? He'll say Ravuna. Now, Lamaisa, nowadays, where we don't have a shulchan, so the Rishonim say, we can't, to take away the main table is crazy. I mean, it's a lot of tircha. We're going to have people come and remove all the food from the table and then put back the whole seder. That's too much tircha. So what we do is we remove the seder plate. That doesn't cause much of a tumult, unfortunately, but it's the best that we can do. Now, this Tosis talks out over here. The Shaila is, is the reason that we need matzah lifnei kol echad v'yechad. Tosfos suggests that maybe the point over here is that since what I'm doing with brachas, and we're talking not about birchas hanenim, in other words, besides the birchas hanenim, normally in a suda you have birchas hanenim, so as long as the person who's making the bracha drinks his wine or eats his bread, it doesn't mean, okay, I'm waiting for my bread, that's not a problem. But in a mitzvah, when you have birchas mitzvah, you can't have a time, because it's supposed to be that you're bevorach immediately over la'asiyos, and you immediately do the mitzvah. In which case, the reason that we would need bifnei kol echad v'yechad is because we don't want to sit around waiting until he's going to hand out the matzah, because then you'll have a tremendous hefsek between the bracha of the mitzvah and the matzah. But according to that, then we'd have to say that it was true even on a big table. It's not because everybody has their own separate table that's why we want everyone to be right there in front of the various things that they're saying, matzazu Hashem and so on. He said, we don't want to have sick. We don't want to have sick. It takes just as long to get me a piece of kezias of matzah or kezias of morah if I'm on a big table as if I would be on a separate small table. So with that type of reasoning, it wouldn't be true to say what we said before, that once you're on a big table, it doesn't matter because it's considered to be in front of you. I mean, Lemaisa, what I do is, because of the Shita, is I before the Seder in the afternoon, I basically make little plastic bags with everybody's kezias of matzah, kezias of mor, and then second kezias, it takes hours, second kezias of matzah and mor for the Kerach, and I mark them according to what size kezaisim. In other words, you know, for machmirim, for normal people, and for kids. So I have three dargas. Then I have to have those three dargas for Korach also, you understand? So it's really messy. But this way, everybody is holding their thing. So there shouldn't be a hefsek. You don't have all the Seder platter, but at least you to be out to that sheet that in the Tzorcha HaMitzvah, there indeed shouldn't be a hefsek between the Brocha and the Achila, because only I'm making the Brocha. So it helps. It definitely helps for efficiency. Okay? V'yuchzek Ravuna. And did we paskin like that? That only the one who has the Haggadah, he's the one who has to have everything in front of him. Lama okrim et ha-shulchan. Why do we take away the shulchan b'chlal? Amid v'Rav Yani k'dei she'yakiru tinokot v'yishalu. We want the kids to notice that something strange is going on, and then they'll ask, why are you taking away the table? Abaye, Abiyasa Kameda Rabba, when Abaye was a kid, he was sitting at Rabba raised him. He was sitting at Rabba's table at the Seder. So chazu de kamata takami kame. He sees that they're removing the table from in front of Rama. So he shouts, wait a minute, adayim lo kach linan. What? We didn't even eat yet. These guys are coming and taking away the table? Omale Rava, great. Patarta milomar manishtana. Now we don't say manishtana. You just asked. So Tosfos Tainis, doesn't make sense to say you're going to be yotzi manishtana by asking why are you taking away the table, because that isn't even one of the manishtanas. So it must be that when he asked, so we said to him something like, oh, you think that's crazy? Wait till you hear the other nonsense we're going to be doing. And then you tell him, and he says, oh, so why are we doing that? And why are we doing it? It's a little bit of a talk. He says, you won't be yotzi manishtana unless you actually end up saying manishtana. So the Gemara didn't bother telling us. But Lemaisa, the way the Rambam understands the Sugya, it's clear that there are no four questions. There's one question, manishtana. Now, what we want is the child should recognize various things that are nishtana, because the whole point of cherus is to recognize, be able to distinguish, to discriminate. So the more you recognize the difference between, like we say in the bracha, between the shibud and gula, between the afela and argodol, and so on and so forth, it's all about nishtana, which, by the way, is the reason all the din of kiddush and avdola are here. Because the etzim of freedom is discrimination. The kiddush and avdola becomes a chelek of the real element of the Seder, not just one of the kosos. That's the ikar, kiddush and avdola, would be said by Pesach, actually. Because it also acts as a mode of expression of the awareness of differences. So it itself is the manishtana. That's exactly what you're doing. So it's not that we're ever coming, people think that manishtana, you have questions, you're supposed to answer those questions, but we never answer those questions. If a mice of the child is asking, so why do we have trei tibule? It would be horrific for us to tell them, well, actually, there's no reason, we're just trying to fool you into asking. We're certainly not going to tell them that answer. So it turns out that we never go to answer the manishtana. If you understand that the question is, so why is everything different? So then all the things that we explain of the shinuyim is why it's different. To be free is different than not being free. We're not exactly coming to explain to you why we do trei tibule or whatever. So in that case, if Abaya made such a fuss as a child of, well, what's going on tonight? We never do this kind of craziness. What's happening here? So then Rabbah says, very good. Now we're aware of how different it is. Now let's go on and say the reason. So he went on to say, what am I, you know? Omar Shmuel, lechem oni is lechem sha'onim alav dvarim. Because if you read the word ayin nun yud, and you don't see it in context of the pasuk, in which you have to read it oni, so then you wouldn't know that it's oni. You don't know what kind of komats you have. Ayin nun yud is either oni or oni. So, and either it means poor, or it means painful, or it means answering. So if I can understand it as meaning answering, so then it would mean lechem she'onim alav. It's something that you're basically meant to answer questions of, over, which is exactly why we have to have the matzah there. Tanya nami achi, lechem oni, it's actually a brisa. Lechem she'onim alav dvarim harbe. Lechem oni davar acher, lechem oni. Because it's written ayin nun yod, and we don't have to pronounce it oni in terms of aniya. We can pronounce it oni in terms of poor, as if to tell me ma ani shidarko beprusa afkan beprusa. An oni usually can't afford a whole loaf of bread, so he buys leftovers, a cup. They used to have it in Eretz Yisrael, although now they don't do it anymore. But you used to walk into the makolet and buy a half a loaf of bread. And they would cut it for you. So just like an ani is darka beprusa, afkan beprusa, which is the reason that we break the matzah. So that becomes part of it. In other words, we first take lechem mishnah, which is the stamachia for the simchas yontif, just like we do on Shabbos, and then we go ahead and we break the matzah question whether we break a different matzah or whether we break one. That's it. We end up doing both. We retain two matzahs for our lechem mishnah, and then we have the prusa as the lechem that's ani. Dover hacher madar ko shall ani. Who may seek v'ishto fa? Afkanami who may seek v'ishto fa. Another point is that the lechem ani itself means lechem that isn't chametz. Because what we do is we have a regular, an oni doesn't have fuel. He's very makbid on his fuel costs. So therefore, what he does is he makes sure that as the tanur is getting hot, already we're working on the bread so we can put it in instantly and not waste any of the energy that's in there. But that's exactly what we do in order to avoid chimutz. So it's part of the inyan of the chimutz is that it's good for memory of the fact that we couldn't afford to have real bread in Eretz Mitzrayim. It needed to be done immediately, used as quickly as possible. So you just make these things, pop them onto the side of the oven as it's hot, and by the time you take it off, the oven's cooling down already. So it turns out, of course, this is the Holach Ba'anya. It's based on this Gemara. Because otherwise, in the Torah, the only thing it says about matzah is that it's a remiss to freedom. And that they had to run out. So not that there was any inherent limitation on the eating matzah. But with this explanation of lechem oni, it's not a reference to the pain, but actually a reference to the non-chimutz, because you can't afford the fuel. So then you say, halach ma'anya is indeed an inyan of the matzah per se, the inyan of the non-chimutz in the matzah. Right on.